This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The last American troops have departed Afghanistan, so what happens now to the people living in increasingly tenuous economic conditions? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The sun has come up on Afghanistan's first day in 20 years without international military presence. Taliban fighters insist they want a good relationship with the world, but Afghans are worried about their futures. Inflation is rising, salaries haven't been paid, cash is in short supply, and banks in the country remain closed despite promises to reopen. From the capital, Kabul, the BBC's Sukunder Kamani told me what the situation on the ground is like now for those desperately trying to get access to savings and essential supplies.
Certainly a number of cash machines have reopened, but you're seeing huge queues outside them of hundreds of people. And I was there outside one cash machine in the center of Kabul a few days ago, one man telling me he was worried about being able to put enough food on the table for his children. Another woman breaking down in tears, saying that she just didn't feel it was going to be possible to stay living in this country under this level of stress. Other problems include the fact that civil servants here in Afghanistan haven't been paid for a number of months. That predates the Taliban's takeover, but just speaks to the kind of sense of chaos that there's been in the country. So I was at a bus stand in Kabul yesterday evening, and employees there were telling me that they had seen a doubling or quadrupling of people heading towards the borders with Pakistan and Iran. Most of them didn't have visas. They're hoping to use people smugglers to cross over. Most of them actually citing economic reasons as the primary motive for leaving Afghanistan, saying that there's no work, they're not sure what the future is going to bring. Of course, also uncertainty about what life under the Taliban will look like.
And why haven't the banks reopened despite those promises?
Well, I think one of the key issues here is a large part of the Afghan government's economy is subsidized through international aid. And those international contributions have been somewhat paused at the moment. So that's leading to one of the issues around cash flow as well. It's also about demand, from what I understand.
Are people able to get access to food and other basic resources there?
Afghans are, I hate to use the word resilient, but it is a resilient society. There are wide kind of informal networks to support families and to support people in throughout neighborhoods that are struggling. So, you know, at the moment, we're not seeing people kind of starving, or that's not the reports that we're getting just yet. But food prices are rocketing up for many everyday items. One of the concerns will be about the airport. If trade through that can resume, if trade can increase through the land borders, then that will help stabilize the situation. The Taliban say once a new government has been formally declared, which we're still waiting for, then everyday life will become easier. But many people not willing to give them that time, really, and not feeling that they can afford to give them that time, and so already making plans to leave the country.
The BBC's Sukunder Kamani for us in Kabul. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, prices for goods like flour and rice in Afghanistan have risen sharply as the value of the nation's currency there continues to plunge. A quick check of some other numbers now. Fresh evidence today of a slowdown in China's economy. Factory activity this month expanded at a slower pace than expected, while service activity shrank. Still, stock markets across the region ended the session largely higher. European benchmarks are also making slight gains. The UN has warned Madagascar is on the verge of the world's first climate change-induced famine. Communities in the southern part of the country are facing catastrophic conditions after 4 years of drought. While conflict has been blamed for similar crises in Yemen, Somalia, and Ethiopia, experts say the situation off the east coast of Africa is due to rising global temperatures. The BBC's Andrew Harding has that story.
In the pale, dry hills of southern Madagascar, a hungry family sits in the dust. We eat insects now, says Tamaria, a mother of four, holding a few dried locusts in a bowl. But we have no water to clean them, she says, and no rain to harvest what we've sown in the fields. And so, the grimly familiar scenes of listless children with desperately thin arms and distended stomachs. It's not much better in the towns.
So many children start to beg in the street for small change to buy food.
Tina Endor runs a small charitable organisation, SEED. The worst drought in 40 years has left Madagascar reeling.
In the past, we know when the rain will come, when people start to grow crops and when the harvesting will be. But now at this time is not known. When you go at the market, you see less and less.
The United Nations is now warning that Madagascar is on the brink of the world's first climate change famine. Shelley Thackrell works for the UN's World Food Programme.
These people have done nothing to contribute to climate change. They don't burn fossil fuels, and yet they are bearing the brunt of climate change.
Some help is arriving now in remote villages like this one, but not enough. Not after 4 years without rain.
There's lots that we can do to improve water management.
At Santa Barbara University, Chris Funk says the authorities in Madagascar need to take bold action.
We can often forecast when there's going to be above normal rains, and farmers can use that information to increase their crop production.
But speed is key. In southern Madagascar, a sense of desperation is taking hold. Lomba Hasoavana has been camping in his field at night, trying to protect his crops from thieves, but it's become too dangerous.
You could risk your life if you do that. I find it scary for the future.
And so from a remote corner of an isolated island, an alarming precedent as climate change pushes Madagascar towards famine.
That's the BBC's Andrew Harding reporting there. Well, climate change is a focus of discussion today in Tokyo, where the U.S. climate envoy John Kerry will meet with Prime Minister Yoshida Suga. Japan is the only G7 nation still building coal-fired power stations. And to increase cooperation on cutting support for fossil fuels, talks are likely to include plans by the Asian Development Bank aimed at acquiring such power plants and then shutting them down early. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.